Network.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. We're with our second hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show, and joining us this morning is John Mulliken from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. John, good morning. How are you? Where's John? Oh, why don't you lock me in? You got to lock me in. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Sorry about that. You missed your introduction. Anyway, that's all right. That was my fault. I didn't press the right button. So, anyway, John, tell us your title, please. Your formal DNR title.
I'm a District 2 manager for the Western Region in the Inland Fisheries Division.
And what do your friends call you? The biologist guy?
Close enough, yeah. That'll work.
Always a pleasure talking to you, John, and fishing with you. We shared the boat this spring, caught a couple walleyes and some other stuff, and had a great time, as usual. So we're here to talk about the Upper Potomac. How's the fishing now, right now, today, this time of year?
Well, this time it had been pretty tough because we've had such low water levels. Mm-hmm. The river had been well below average flow and very clear, which made fishing tough this fall. But
hard to sneak up on them, huh?
But they're very spooky, and but thanks to some recent precipitation and snowmelt, the river is rising as we speak, and conditions are improving, and I would expect fishing to improve as well.
Sure. You like a little murkiness to the water when you're fishing for the walleye and the muskie up there?
Yeah, in my experience, crystal clear water makes for some pretty tough fishing most of the time for whatever species mm-hmm. you're pursuing. So a little bit of color to the water definitely helps.
I got you. Well, we definitely had color this spring and last spring when we fished it, that's for sure. No question. All right. So I've been telling people about the Maryland Fishing Challenge that, it's a great time of year to get out there. And if you're not a hunter, you're not fishing, you're missing some great opportunities. And such is the case on the Potomac with the walleyes and the muskie. You're pretty much year-round, isn't it?
Yeah, both walleye and muskie are year-round fisheries. There's like any species, there's certain times of year that are more productive than others, and generally most of the efforts towards walleye occur during the cooler times of the year, the winter and early spring prior mm-hmm. to their spawn, and that's when they become concentrated below barriers such as major rapids or dams or things of that nature. But walleye fishing is good year-round. But it definitely offers something this time of year when the water temperatures get cool and other fish become more dormant. Walleye and muskie, being cool water species, remain fairly active and are catchable throughout the winter.
Sure. Now, is there an increase in their feeding activity during these times? I mean, any fish that lives in a river has to maintain a lot of calories to even exist in that flowing water. I mean, are they hungry? Are they soft biters? Or do they bite hard? Are they, aggressive? Or are they, tell me a little bit about the behavior of the fish.
Well, during the winter, of course, especially when temperatures get really frigid into the low 30s, they can be light biters, and the action, is not as hot and heavy. But when during the pre-spawn period, like most species, generally they're feeding pretty heartily right before the spawn.
Mm-hmm.
So for several weeks prior to that, they're usually biting pretty well.
Okay.
And very catchable.
Sure. I mean, as with any river fish in the wintertime, if you think even smallmouth, for example, if you think that your line got hit by a leaf, you better be setting the hook.
Right, yeah. The hits can be, depending on the day and the mood of the fish, how activity period that they're in, the hit can be anything from a strong tap, if you're using a jig, which is most of the time, 95% of the time in the wintertime, that's the go-to.
Leadhead jig with a shad or something, shad body.
Yeah, it'd be very simple, usually use an eighth or quarter ounce leadhead jig in a variety of plastic trailers, you know, from the twister tail grub type baits to the
shad bodies.
Shad body or, you know, minnow imitating.
Little fluke or something like that, sure. I think we had our, I can't remember. I think I had a pink quarter ounce jig with a white fluke on it, I think, if I remember right. But anyway, that seemed to be popular that day we were there. But so we've got walleyes, and it's not a small little hole that you find these walleyes in. You've got quite a stretch of river there.
Well, that's true. When the walleyes in the spring, when they're on their spawning, what the anglers call the spawning run, the fish are moving around extensively, and when they come to something like a dam or a major barrier, major riffle or major rapid, they become concentrated.
Right.
And that, of course, makes for good fishing. But they're not just below the dams. You know, they're in several miles below the dam.
Oh, sure.
A lot of times, you know, fishermen tend to concentrate right at the dam itself, and the fishing, of course, can be excellent there, but all of the fish are not up at the dam, and a lot of times, by moving away from the dam, you can find fish that...
And we've done that. You know the river like the back of your hand. Where did we fish? Dam 4? Dam 5?
Yes.
Dam 4. You knew the river like the back of your hand. At some points, we were a mile from the dam.
Yeah, you know, it's not uncommon to be even several miles from the dam. It certainly concentrates the fish at the dam, but not all of the fish move to the dam. There are other areas in the river that also concentrate fish that aren't quite as obvious as a barrier such.
Sure.
As the dam.
What about fishing from the bank rather than from a boat this time of year especially?
Well, a lot of that catching walleyes from the bank, it certainly can be done in the right places and at the right water levels. Generally, when the water levels are low and clearer, the fish move away from the banks. They're more in the main flow of the river, and it becomes harder for bank fishermen to do well. As the river flows increase, as they tend to do in the winter and early spring, that pushes more of the fish to get out of the main flow along the edges of the river, and that puts them in range of bank fishermen more often. Some of the other times of the year, fishermen can do well from the bank, say in the fall when water levels are low and clear. They can do well at night casting shallow rapalotite minnow crankbaits at night.
Let's face it, these fish eat minnows year-round. I mean, that's their main forage. So you got something that imitates a minnow. You're going to, you stand a lot better chance than something that imitates anything else.
Yes.
You know, they'll eat a crawfish, you know, something like that, but primarily they like the minnow baits. And what I noticed fishing with you, it's not rocket science to, there's no, left-handed behind your back technique to catch these fish. It's pretty much cast and retrieve.
You can make, like any kind of fishing, you can make it as complicated or as simple as you'd like. I'd say a handful of 8-ounce and quarter-ounce jigs and some various plastic trailers. With walleye, it's mainly in the, rather than the exact bait that you use, I believe it's more in how you present the bait and where you present the bait. I think we're...
They're not big chasers, are they?
No. Generally, your bait has to be very close to the bottom.
Right.
And I think where some people... may not do as well fishing for walleyes when they're used to fishing for bass or other species, is even in colder water, whereas smallmouth will generally avoid flows and be found in very quiet eddies along with the shorelines, walleyes can still be found out in the main river in some current, even in very cold water.
Right.
And you know, you have to present your bait or your jig down within 6 inches or a foot of the bottom generally for to get the most hits.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you've got that down to a science. But we're going to take a break here in a few minutes, but tell us briefly how we got walleyes in Maryland. I mean, walleyes weren't here as a native species, were they? I mean, we're pretty much at the southern end of the range, aren't we?
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's most accounts believe that they are not native to the river. Stocking in the upper Potomac was initiated in 1979. Various stockings, various years and numbers were stocked from that point up through 2000. And at that point, it was felt that there was enough natural reproduction occurring to stop stocking and see where we went from there. In 2001, we had an extremely large natural year class, so no stocking was conducted from 2001 through 2011.
So we stocked them for 21 years, starting in 79.
Mm-hmm.
Then we stopped. Then we allowed natural reproduction to take over for the next 10 years? Is that what you're telling me?
Right. We had an extremely large year class that actually carried the fish for most of that 10 years. And of course, at the end of that 10 years, they were very large fish. But they had an impact on the fishery for nearly 10 years. And
right.
We had some moderate reproduction in 2004, 5, and 6.
Right.
But then reproduction more recently has been pretty low.
Okay.
In fact, the last 2010 we had a moderate year class, and then 2011, 12, and 13 we had a very poor year classes due to the amount of flooding we had in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Now we also began stocking again in 2012. 13 and 14. And in 2013 and 14, all the fingerlings that were stocked in the Potomac were marked so that we could differentiate those fish from the naturally hatched fish.
Mm-hmm.
And in going back and collecting a sample of those fish, in 2013, 57% of the young of year that we recovered were hatchery fish. Excuse me. And in 2014, 38% were hatchery fish. So,
the hatchery program then did pay off. Now, do you electroshock the river? Is this from angler reports or?
No, this is from
young of the year.
These fish were collected during our electrofishing our annual electrofishing surveys that occur each fall during October.
Mm-hmm. Okay, put me down for being on the boat next October. I've been on the electrofishing deals down on the on a shad gathering deal down on the where did I go down in the Patuxent. So that was a lot of fun. All right, look, we're going to take a short break, John, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk more about walleyes and get into a little musky fishing as well. So it's time for me to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. Clyde's, of course, has all your winter fishing requirements there, live bait. And the fishing hotline continues to go nonstop, 24/7, 365. And that fishing hotline number is 247-3474. Try and do that from memory. 247-3474. The easy way to remember is 247-FISH, F-I-S-H. And that'll give you the pre-recorded fishing hotline that's brought up it's changed about every week. But since we're in the middle of hunting season, let me remind you that Clyde Sports Shop is also your full-line Browning dealer. Now, they carry Thompson Center muzzle loaders, and they carry other brands as well, Remington and Winchester and H&R and Savage and you name it. But for Browning, it's the X-Bolt high-powered rifle in all standard Magnum and short Magnum caliber rifles for not only Maryland deer and bears, but also for any wild game that you need around the country. The X-Bolt is an excellent bolt-action rifle, very accurate. There's the Maxis shotgun. You want to take a look at that for waterfowl. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers. If you like the power gas drive recoil system, well, this one reduces recoil with its power drive gas system. And then the recoil-operated shotgun is the A5. The A5, the humpback is back, 100,000 rounds, 5-year guarantee, kinematic drive system, which is recoil-operated, and you will enjoy any of your firearms from Browning like I do. So stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. Fishing hotline again, 247-FISH. Now, if you're headed to the Eastern Shore, I highly recommend that you take a few minutes and stop by Chesapeake Outdoors and browse their selection. A great Christmas gift, Tacticam, a camera that can mount to your bow or your firearm and video your hunt while you're in the progress of process of hunting. They've got that. They've got any number of great gift ideas. Now, if you're looking for the big prize for that sportsman in your life, well, they've got a full line of fishing tackle as well, but they've got Matthews, Mission, Carbon Express, Barnett, Excalibur, Parker, bows and crossbows, firearms for waterfowl, deer hunting, Under Armour, and Drake clothing, camouflage clothing, the largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area, Avery and Bigfoot decoys. You name it, they've got it at Chesapeake Outdoors for fishing and hunting. The first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Route 50 East, exit 39B, that's Dominion Road, exit 39B on Kent Island. Stop by or give them a call, 410-604-2500. And waterfowlers, don't forget, they do goose and duck picking. Yep. In waterfowl season, they'll pick your duck, or they'll breast out your geese, or they'll pick your geese, however you want them done. That's how they do it. And you drop your geese off, you go to lunch and come back and they got it, or you go to lunch, or you drop your geese off and you browse the store for a little while, and then pick up your waterfowl. So that's Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Going on vacation or a business trip? Take Talk Radio 680 WCBM with you.
Listen to all your favorite hosts and shows on your smartphone.
Download the app now at WCBM.com.
Now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade sitting in the shade.
All right, we're back with John Mulligan. Mulligan, M-U-L-L-I-C-A-N, right, John?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's right. And he's the freshwater biologist. What's your whole area there, John? What do you cover?
We cover Washington County, Frederick County, and the large warm water rivers, the Potomac and its tributaries.
Gotcha. Okay, good. And that's quite a river system. A lot of fish there. A lot of different species of fish. Other than walleyes and muskie, what's up there to catch?
Well, we have, of course, the smallmouth bass, which is probably the most popular sport fish in the river, and it's probably close running with channel catfish, which are extremely popular.
Mm-hmm.
Channel
catfish?
Yes.
Okay.
And regrettably, we've recently documented an expansion of flathead catfish in the upper river.
Really?
And that's something that we would encourage fishermen to harvest and do not return the flatheads if they happen to catch them.
Gotcha. Good point. Okay. And how about like the panfish species?
There's several panfish available. There's rock bass, red-breast sunfish. There's some other panfish that are caught less frequently. One of the more colorful panfish, or a colorful fish you'll see in freshwater, is a long-ear sunfish.
Yeah, they're pretty.
And beautiful.
Yep. I grew up fishing Juniata River in Pennsylvania, the same kind of water, walleyes and few walleyes, but mostly smallmouth bass and carp and a few catfish, every now and then a pickerel, but a lot of sunfish and a lot of rock bass. That's how I started fishing when I was just a tadpole. And, man, you spend a lot of time fishing for those little sunnies and rock bass along the shoreline, and it's pretty cool to get a kid started on that, you know, bobber and a worm and a piece of nightcrawler. And just, if you're on the bank, just let them go crazy with that kind of stuff and catch and release those little fish. That's pretty cool. So, anyway, you were talking about walleyes. We were talking about the stocking program and the recruitment. People don't understand it. Where is our walleye hatchery here in Maryland?
The walleye are hatched at the Manning Warm Water Hatchery down near Cedarville.
Right.
And the fish, the fingerlings that we stock into the Potomac, those are from brood fish that are collected from the Potomac.
Right.
In the spring, we collect those, and those fish then, the hatchery crew takes them to the hatchery. We'll spawn those fish out. The brood fish are returned back to the river, and then the production from those fish is stocked not only in the Potomac River, but also in other state waters.
The marking of these fish, when you say that you mark these fingerlings, is an extremely interesting process. You take those fingerlings when they're just a few days old, and they're immersed in dye, which works its way through their system, but primarily it dyes one of the ear bones, the otolith.
Correct. It's the chemical is oxytetracycline. It's an antibiotic drug that binds to bone or cartilage, and when the fish are a few days old, really the only before any of the other bony structures are developed, these inner ear bones called otoliths are beginning to develop, and that oxytetracycline will bind to that.
Right. And mark that ear bone. Then
correct.
Then that fish is taken out of that after a day, and it may be put in the next day, or it may be put in 2 days later. And as that bone continues to grow daily, you can microscopically mark that fish might have been put in that oxytetracycline on the third day, the fifth day, and the seventh day. and then it's a 357 fish, I'm dumbing it down, but that's kind of the way that works. Yeah.
Which day it was marked.
Right. So when you capture that fish through electroshocking after it's gotten some years on it or months on it or whatever, you sample some of those fish and say, you collect fish that are going to be sacrificed for science, and you go into the lab with the microscope and you look at that ear otolith, that ear bone, and you can see if that's a 357 fish or a 246 fish or whatever it is. And that determines what stock that came from.
Right. You have to sacrifice the fish, remove the otolith, and then the otolith is looked under a specialized microscope that has a UV light. And under the UV light, where the OTC mark is, will fluoresce.
Right.
And indicate that is one of the marked fish. And that's really, when you're marking 40,000 or more several-day-old fry, you obviously can't use any other type of traditional marking method to do that.
So, yeah, you can't tag them.
Right.
So, a little difficult.
It has worked well, and it has definitely indicated to us that the stocking program is contributing
absolutely.
To the walleye fishing.
Sure.
And we are getting natural reproduction.
I've been to that hatchery.
Are worthwhile.
I've been to that hatchery. I've looked through that microscope. It's fascinating what you guys do, to ensure our future fishing populations here. And it's just, you guys, I can never give enough kudos out to the biologists and the hardworking people like yourself that are in the field that are doing these types of things to maintain our fishery here in Maryland. It's just fascinating to me the work that you guys do across the state in both wildlife and fisheries. So let's talk a little bit about the size limit on the walleyes up there. When you and I fish, it's usually right after the first of the year. I think we fished in March of this year and last year, 2013, 2014. There's a slot limit on the walleyes to protect the spawning stock. Is that right?
That's correct. From January 1st through April 15th, the minimum size of 15-inch is still in effect, but there's also a 20-inch maximum size, and this regulation is within the Potomac main stem. It doesn't apply to other bodies of waters.
Creek and other places.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
And the reason for that regulation is, as I mentioned before, during that time of the year, these fish become very concentrated in areas and they're also very catchable. And this way, it protects the mature females, and the mature females are generally over 20 inches.
Yeah.
So it protects the mature females, giving them a chance to spawn before they're potentially harvested.
Right.
Even though under ideal conditions, it doesn't take many adult brood fish to produce a good year class.
Right.
One of the other benefits of that regulation is that it protects those fish when they are most vulnerable to harvest during that limited time period, and that reduces the overall harvest of larger fish during the year.
Right.
And that has resulted in an excellent size structure. We have lots of big walleyes in the river.
Tell us about your 2014 survey, what you found on that.
Well, the 2014 survey, generally we collect, we're looking to get a relative abundance for adult walleye during the fall, and we found good numbers of adult walleyes, very desirable numbers, with an average size of 20 inches, which is pretty impressive.
Wow, that is a good size, absolutely.
Of course, one of the reasons the average size is 20 inches is because in the last 3 years, we've had very poor reproduction, so we don't have the small fish.
The small fish, yeah.
And we were very encouraged by the strength of the 2014 year class. We found quite a few young walleyes this fall, and fishermen have also been reported catching a number of young walleyes. So
good.
That certainly is going to bode well for the future. And these young walleyes are larger than most would think they would be. Most fishermen don't realize that a walleye that was hatched this spring is, by the fall, is 10, 11 inches long.
Wow. That's amazing growth rate. That's for sure. Good food up there. Good food. Mm-hmm. So, all right, John, we're going to take another short break, and we'll get back to you. We'll want to talk about musky fishing on the river when we get back. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Time for me to tell the folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. That's right. We got a couple folks that actually have entered in the month of November. We've got Jason Lucabaugh, who caught a he's from Conowingo. He caught a 45-inch striped bass in the Patuxent. Jim McDonald from Glendon. He caught a 14.5-inch yellow perch from the Severn. And then we've got John Vale from Annapolis and Matt Bodden from Annapolis. Both have chain pickerel, 24.5 inches. Mike Waggis from Cumberland with a 20-inch rainbow trout. Randy Bowman from Annapolis with a 26-inch chain pickerel from the Magothy. And Shane Cliff from Annapolis with a 24-inch chain pickerel. So fishing is good in the fall, like I've been telling you. So get out there. The 2015 Maryland Fishing Challenge is underway. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. Late fall is a great time to hit the freshwater streams, the lakes and rivers. All manner of fish load up on calories for winter. You got trout, walleyes, and northern pike in the west, the largemouth and smallmouth bass in our great river system and local impoundments. The bay has some heavy hitter rockfish in there too, and all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Award size fish, you certify your catch at an Angler Award Center and enter online, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in our freshwater areas, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local Angler Award Center or check the fishing rule book. Visit dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2015 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? I hope so. Time for me to tell you one more time about Chesapeake Outdoors. Located on Maryland's eastern shore, just across the Bay Bridge, that's exit number 39B Dominion Road, 39B Dominion Road. Look for that when you go across the bridge. It's not far across the bridge. And they have the largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area. And speaking of waterfowl, they do all your duck and goose picking and cleaning right there. You just take your geese in and drop them off. You take your ducks in and drop them off, and they'll clean them for you. They'll pick them. They'll pluck them. They'll breast them. Do whatever you want to do. You make that choice, and you've got the guys that you know, they're in the back. They keep the guys that do that in the back. You know, for some reason, I don't know why, they just keep them in the back. But, you know, they disappear with your duck. Yeah, way in the back, yeah. They just, you know, disappear with your ducks and geese and come out with, you know, clean birds, goose breast, whatever. So, but don't forget, they got a large selection of Under Armour, Drake clothing, Avery and Bigfoot decoys, rifles and shotguns, Bubba blade knives, bows and crossbows by Matthews and Mission and Carbon Express and Barnett, Excalibur and Parker, everything you need for hunting and fishing, Chesapeake Outdoors. Route 50 East, 39B, Dominion Road, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500, Chesapeake Outdoors, first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers.
It is soggy out there this morning, but you know what? It's not a complete washout of a weekend. Rain, though, will be with us much of the day today. Temperatures, though, are mild, 51. The rain continuing tonight. We'll dry it out later on tonight, cool it down to 34. Now, tomorrow, go ahead and get outside. Lots of sunshine. It's going to be a little cool, though, 43, and that cooling trend continues on Monday. Clouds but dry and 38 Monday. I'm Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. More consumers are gaining direct access to lab reports and test results, and healthcare providers are offering new tools to help navigate the maze of numbers. You can use the data to better manage your own care. Under a federal rule that went into effect last spring, you can see your results on a wide variety of medical tests, including complete blood counts, urinalysis, and allergy tests. The results must be available on request within 30 days. No physician's authorization is required. The 30-day window provides doctors with time to review sensitive or complicated lab findings and meet with you to discuss them. But for routine tests, more labs and hospitals will send results directly to you. Quest Diagnostics provides diagnostic information services to about 30% of American adults each year. It has launched a new secure patient website called MyQuest. You can go to the site to view your lab results at no charge within 48 to 72 hours in most states. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more urges to urinate, longer bathroom trips, waking at night to urinate, or issues with sex. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours, free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-852-0257. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to urinate, improve bladder emptying, reduce waking at night to urinate, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-852-0257. That's 1-800-852-0257. Call 1-800-852-0257.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Your favorite radio station,
Talk Radio 680 WCBM,
is now available on your iPhone and Droid. Check us out at WCBM.com.
I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Well, shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. Now somebody's going to have a new muzzleloader because we're going to pick that name right now. Here's how that works. Everybody that calls in goes on a sheet. Everybody that calls in gets a number. It corresponds to a ticket that we put in a hat. We put the tickets in the hat. We shake them all up. We mix them all up. We draw a ticket. I don't do it. Bethany does it. She picks a number out of the hat. She hands me the ticket. We look at the list. We see whose name corresponds with that number on the ticket. And the winner for the November muzzleloader is a fellow by the name of Mike Gosman. Mike Gosman, G-O-S-M-A-N. So, Mike, congratulations. We'll be contacting you. And thank you, Bethany, for your excellent pick. I don't know who Mike is. He might be a reprobate. I don't know. You know, I'm just kidding. I don't know him. But he called in. He got in the contest. And, Mike, you've won a brand-new muzzleloader from the folks at CVA. CVA.com, folks. Visit that website. Check out all the muzzleloaders. Matter of fact, John, you still with me?
I am.
Are you a muzzleloader hunter?
I am not.
You're not. Oh, well, you weren't in the drawing, so you didn't have a shot to win it. So, but the folks at CVA have been providing us with muzzleloaders for, I don't know, 9 years, something like that. So we've given away quite a few of their muzzleloaders, and they're good folks. So anybody that shoots those muzzleloaders, by the way, there's a new powder out called Blackhorn 209, and somebody asked me about it a year ago, and I bought some, and I tried it, and I really like it in my CVA mountain rifle. But now CVA's actually come out with a breech plug that replaces the original breech plug that specializes in shooting that 209 replacement powder. So Anyway, I digress. John, let's talk about muskies. Big, toothy, nasty fish.
Okay.
Yep. You're up. How many of them we got? We got lots of them?
Yeah, the population is, we have an excellent population of muskie in the river.
Okay.
Muskie fishing has become, you can't keep a good thing quiet and word of mouth spreads and it has become very popular.
Sure.
We've done some things that help us keep track of the population, and one of those, because a muskie is the top-of-the-line apex predator and they're found in relatively few numbers compared to the other game fish species, it's very difficult to get a large data set of information on muskies.
Right.
So we rely on fishermen to help us do that.
Okay.
And in 2009, we started a volunteer creel diary program.
Okay.
And from that, we were able to track angler catch rates, harvest rates, the size distribution of muskies they're catching. And through that, we're able to get qualitative determination of year class strength. So we get a lot of valuable data from that. It's an easy, and we're always encouraging more anglers, muskie anglers, if they're thinking about muskie fishing or currently muskie fish on the river.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking for more folks to participate in that. It's simply a matter of keeping a creel diary sheet with you when you're fishing and record how many anglers, the length of your trip, and record the length of each muskie you catch, whether you harvest it, and
in general, ethical fishermen like to do that. They like to help the fishery. You know,
yeah.
they like to catch them, realizing what a special opportunity they have, and you know, you can always get a reproduction mount done if you want.
Right.
You know,
right. And you can get the sheets either through the Maryland's DNR Fisheries webpage, through the volunteer angler surveys, or anglers can contact my office either through email or phone, and I will send either electronic or mail a copy of the creel sheet to them. At the end of the year, they can return that back to me. Each participant receives a muskie program cap with an embroidered muskie on it as a way for us to say thank you for helping us get this data and to help manage the fishery. It also helps to spread the word on the survey and get more participation.
On the survey, sure.
Yeah. Right. And like you said, most the voluntary release rate on muskies is very high.
Sure.
When it takes over 15 hours on average to catch one, most fishermen want to do everything they can to make sure it doesn't take more than 15 hours to catch one.
Sure. Our state record is how big?
It's over 31 pounds.
31 pounds.
Nearly 32 pounds.
That was a young man from West Virginia, I believe, caught that fish.
Yeah.
In 2012, 2013. I think it was 2013, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a big fish. 31 pounds.
It was a very large fish.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about catch and release, and we need to take one short break, and then we'll be right back to you there, buddy. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road is your Browning headquarters. Now, we've been talking all season about the fine Browning firearms, the A5, the X-Bolt, the A-Bolt 3 with a $100 rebate, the BPS pump shotgun, the Browning handguns for personal and home protection and just plain fun for shooting, the Satori for shotgun sports, the over and under, the BT-99 trap gun if you like trap shooting. They've got it all at Clyde Sports Shop. They're your full-line Browning dealer when it comes to firearms, so make sure you check out that whole selection. But when you're there, don't just go in for the Browning. Look at everything. They've got handguns, they've got rifles, they've got shotguns, they've got muzzleloaders. They have a great gunsmithing service. I use them all the time for cleaning, for scope mounting, and that type of thing. Any of the firearms I have need repairs or cleaned or replacement parts, you know, like that little gasket that goes on your 1187, your semi-automatic. They've got them in stock. They'll put one in for you. But that's why I like Clyde Sports Shop. They're your full-line, not only Browning dealer, but everything dealer, fishing and hunting. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Been around since 1957. 410-242-6108. Fishing hotline is 410-247-3474. Clyde's Sports Shop. Check them out online, too, ClydeSports.com.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
Hey, for you race fans, you NASCAR fans, Linex is having a contest. You could win four pit passes to the 2015 Daytona 500. So go online to Linex Protective Coatings, but you got to visit your local dealer to get a chance to win a pit pass. There's also a race suit contest if you want to win a race suit or a race helmet that's signed by Dale Jr. and Alex Bowman. You can do that too. So that's a special promotion from your local Linex dealer. Stop by Bay Linex in Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex and check that out.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio was the first social media.
Now you can listen to Talk Radio 680 WCBM on AM 680.
WCBM.com and on your smartphone. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at WCBM 680.
Hey, we're back with John Mullican, fisheries guy from DNR. We're talking about the walleyes and the muskies in the upper Potomac River, 44-mile stretch of river up there that's pretty productive for both walleyes and muskie. And, you know, a lot of folks up there that that concentrate on certain areas, but there's more than one hot spot, isn't there, John?
Yeah, there's pretty much, as far as muskies, most of the upper river from Washington County up, you know, extending into Allegheny County, has about the same abundance of muskies. There's
sure.
No better access area than another through that whole stretch.
Yep. So if you catch one, you want to catch and release. You need some techniques and tools necessary to keep from killing that fish, right?
Correct. We through our tagging studies, we know that 35 to possibly as high as 50% of the muskies are eventually caught. So since most anglers don't harvest the muskies and they're releasing them, with that number of fish caught, it's imperative that the fish are handled properly and that, you know, to ensure that the fish live and will survive again.
Mm-hmm.
And
you need a specialized net. Is that the rubber coated
right.
net? Is that the one you're talking about? Or
well, there's a lot of different types of nets. The one preferred type net is like I use made by Beckman. It's a large fin saver pen style net, which just means it's a very large net. I think it's 36 inch diameter, and it has a flat bottom with a closer mesh on the sides of the net and
mm-hmm.
open mesh at the bottom so that it doesn't.
So it doesn't
split the fins and the tail.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of the net is once you've caught the fish, which is the hard part, you net the fish, and the fish is then in kind of a live well on the side of the boat.
Yeah,
the fish to stay in the water while you get your other tools and so forth ready, and you can also unhook the fish while it's in the net, only lifting the fish out of the water for a quick picture before releasing it.
We did that when we fished for northern pike with Matt Sell up on Deep Creek. Matt's got that northern pike survey up there, and I don't know that we've got an angler survey like you do with the muskies, but it's fascinating to watch, and I think Matt has that same type of net, the flat bottom net with the fin saver. We had two Northerns in there, and they swam around just fine. Everything was cool.
Oh, yeah,
works great.
It's the preferred way. They're a little pricey, but it's the best way, in my opinion, to handle the fish and keep the fish healthy while it goes through the process of unhooking the fish.
Is there a video or anything on how to handle a fish of that size?
We are probably going to put something like that together this year, both either a video or a handout that would show a series of photos on how to handle them, because they are big, strong fish, and the larger they are, the more difficult they are to handle.
Yep.
One tool that I don't recommend that we've seen, I personally have seen a lot of jaw damage to them, are any of the jaw holding device.
Yeah, what are these things called? Boca something?
Well,
yeah.
The one brand name is the Boga Grip.
A
variety of manufacturers that make these.
You don't want one of those. Even though they're a toothy fish, you want to keep them in the net.
Right.
Keep them
contained. Those, we've seen a lot of broken jaws, broken mandibles from those. And also, you don't want to hold the fish vertical. Their jaw structure and connective tissue is
You can tear that.
Not designed to handle the weight. You know, vertical hanging
sure.
the fish and that supporting that weight.
So support the weight, grab a quick picture, and release that muskie back in his best
right.
shape you can. John, there's the music, old buddy. I'm sorry, we're out of time, and I appreciate you joining us this morning. So, any last words for last 10 seconds you want to say something about?
Well, thank you for having me on. If fishermen have any other questions or comments about the Potomac fisheries, they can call my office number at 301-898-5443 or email me anytime, and I'll be happy to answer their questions.
Okay, John Mollican, thanks again. Get out, stay out, stay safe.